But now, as I've said, there are 5 degrees of love. And what, according to this Vishnuistic view, is the highest? And the answer is illicit love. There, you are really overtaken, assaulted, assailed by love and nothing but love. In marriage, one has the prestige of the community. One has a job. One has respect. One has the world, and one has love, too. But with illicit love, one loses everything the world can give. And one gives up everything for this wild passion. And again, to quote Ramakrishna, he says, when you have loved God this way, or when you have loved the world this way, giving up everything for it in madness, dropping out, you can say, oh God, come through now and show yourself and let me partake of your being fully. And in that, there is ultimately the intention to dissolve in love and lose yourself. Now, this wild, illicit rapture, beyond the law, is represented mythologically in the love of Krishna, the God, the incarnate God, for an earthly woman, Radha. She, a married woman. You all know the story, probably, of Krishna as a young youth playing his flute in the forest of Vrindavan, and the wives sleeping by their husbands would hear that flute song. And they would sneak out of bed and slip off into the forest and dance the dance of heavenly rapture with Krishna. The notion there, again, is of the illicit nature of love. It goes beyond the law. And when one reads the sermons of Bernard of Clairvaux in the 12th century, celebrating the love of God, the love of the Virgin for God and of God for the Virgin, we hear echoes, really, of this Oriental theme. In fact, the dates for Bernard and the Oriental stories are exactly the same. That wonderful 12th century of the troubadours. The same theme is represented in Christ, in his crucifixion, in certain interpretations of that mystery. It has always been a great problem in Christian theology why Christ was crucified. He accepted crucifixion, according to the belief, voluntarily. And I won't go into all the various theories, but the one that is most impressive in the 12th century and from there on is the idea that this was a demonstration of God's love. Love for the world, which itself is a crucifixion of the spirit. You know the old saying, the body is the tomb of the soul. The soul, as it were, is imprisoned in the flesh. That is a negative approach to the mystery of the spirit in nature. But when one thinks of the voluntary coming of the Spirit into the world, we have a different picture. This is an affirmation of the crucifixion of the Spirit, the anguish. It's as though it were another way of saying that Satan, in his love, and because of his love, is bound in hell or in the flesh.